Today my guest on Piano Jazz is Ed Reed. He's a singer who is a late bloomer on the jazz scene, but he sounds like he's been part of it all along. How are you, Ed?
I'm fine, Marion. I'm just really happy to be here.
And I'm happy to have you. I listen to your records, and they're wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
And there's so many amazing things about you that you started late, I guess. How late? You're, what, 80?
I'll be 80 in February.
Well, you're a baby because I'm 90.
Right.
So you're really a baby.
Yeah.
But when did you really decide you wanted to have a singing career at this late date?
Well, it was, I had been singing with a guitarist, Alex Markels, and for years, about 15 years. And 2 years ago, I met Peck Allman at jazz camp. My wife insisted I go to jazz camp, and so Peck heard me and said, in fact, Peck heard me singing If the Moon Turns Green and said, you got to record. And he sent me to Bud Spangler, and
Bud Spangler, good old friend of mine.
Yes.
And that's how
you
got the
record. He told me to tell you hello.
Oh, and so that's how you got your first record.
Yes, yes.
Of course, I guess, although you just started professionally, you've been singing for years.
Forever. Never could shut up.
Well, I should think not, with such a wonderful sound. Well, did you grow up in Cleveland or Watts? I saw both places.
No, I was born in Cleveland, and my dad came to California, Southern California, in 1937. And my mother and I, no, he came in 34. My mother and I came in 36.
Into California.
Right, in Southern California.
So when did you start singing, in school?
Oh, no. My mother was a singer, and she had operatic ambition and had a family she worked for wanted to send her to La Scala, and that
wow.
freaked her mother out. Her mother said, "Are you crazy?" So, that's a good man. That man loves you. I'm talking about my father, who was really a good guy. He really was. My mom was too. They were great people. But my mother was mad, you know.
So, you mean really mad or mad at you?
Mad at me. Well, she was mad. She lost four children in childbirth.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and she was determined to keep me alive if she had to strangle me to death, you know.
Did you have to sing in self-defense?
I think I sang because I met a guy, Salman Rushdie. Salman Rushdie wrote an essay, and the essay is called Why Do We Care About Singers? And he asked these questions, and it made me think, oh, it was because of a guy named Walter Rutledge who sang in a choir with my mother. He had the voice of an angel. He was a tenor.
And so you got started.
I heard him, and I haven't shut up since. You know, I heard him when I was a little kid. I guess one of the earliest things I heard was Walter singing. And I always wanted to sound like him, still do.
Maybe you do.
I don't know. I sure would like to.
Well, I can talk forever and probably will, but I would. Meanwhile, I would love to hear you sing a song with Gary Fisher accompanying you.
Yes.
So what do you have in mind to do?
Well, we were thinking of Where Do You Start?
You pick the hip tunes.
Thank you.
Start. How do you separate the present from the past? How do you deal with all the things you thought would last that didn't last? With bits of memory scattered here and there, I look around and don't know where to start. Which books are yours? Which tapes and dreams belong to you? And which are mine?
I'm really anxious to learn about all the different stints you did in jail. I can't imagine why a nice-looking guy like you would wind up in jail. What did you do?
I was a heroin addict.
Well, I know what happened. I read where you went in the army.
Yeah.
And
my sergeant said, you need to try this, kid. This is some good stuff. We were unloading ships that were coming back from World War II, and there was morphine all over the ship, you know. And so these guys were using that stuff, and they said, come on, kid, try this. And I said, I don't want to do that. And they said, what do you mean? If you ain't going to do that, you can't hang out with us. And the next thing I said, okay, I will, that lonely kid stuff. I want to hang out with you guys, so I'll do it. And the next thing I know, I'm doing heroin.
And how did it feel?
It made the world go away. It made all the troubles go away. It's an anesthesia. It's an anesthetic. You can't feel anything. All the emotional stuff goes away.
So could you still do whatever you were supposed to do, like in the army, whatever?
Up to a point. The army ended up asking me to leave. They didn't stigmatize me. They just said, son, maybe it's time for you to go back to your mom. And so, no, they asked me, do you want to go back to your mom? I said, yes, please. And they said, okay, you can go home. That was it.
So you went home?
Under honorable conditions.
But then you started again.
Oh, I never stopped. That was 1946, 47, and I didn't stop until 86. I just had my 22nd AA birthday.
Well, were you still able to sing while this was happening?
No, I wasn't singing. I was just barely alive. I used to OD all the time. I'd drink whiskey and then go shoot heroin and pass out.
And well, that wasn't fun.
People were dying. They were dying. I got a graveyard in my head of people who all they did was do heroin. Art Pepper.
Yeah,
Art Pepper and I were in a band together at San Quentin.
Were there some other good players there?
All kinds of players. Frank Butler came through there. Frank Morgan came through there. People would be in transient going from one prison to the next, and they'd spend a night or a week at San Quentin, and they would come and play in the band, you know. Dexter...
It could almost be fun being in prison.
It was fun. It was fun.
What did the warden think?
He loved it. He loved that band. The band was the warden had a show once a month where people came and toured the prison. And the band was the pièce de résistance. You know, the band was played for, they had a banquet after the tour, and the band played during the banquet and during and after the banquet, you know. And it put a good face on the prison.
Sure it did.
Yes, yes. And it was a good band, you know.
And I guess you all got treated better, didn't you?
Yes, we got treated well. Well, you know, I can't say I was ever treated badly. I just was doing time, you know, and doing time was walk between the white lines. And my thing was working in the library so I could find out what was wrong with me. Because my mother said, well, you've humiliated everybody. Now maybe at least you can go there and find out what's wrong with you. So,
oh, that's funny. Did you read anything that gave you an insight?
I read everything from Freud to Adler to Jung to Spinoza to
Menninger.
Kant to, you know, I read everything. I read the Bible. I read everything. I read all kinds of religions. And now I teach people.
You do?
Yes.
Now and teach ex-prisoners, you mean?
I teach everybody. I teach the families of addicts. I teach addicts addiction. Doesn't matter what the drug is. We can't stop. We ain't got no off switch. And so we need to learn where the off switch is. And
oh, that's clever.
And that's what I teach people, to find their off switch. And, I got 22 years of sobriety behind me, and I'm going, life is fantastic. Why couldn't I find this before?
Well, you found it. You found the switch.
Yeah.
And here you are.
Yes, here I am.
Wailing and singing fantastic songs. And you're going to sing another one, I hope.
Yes, ma'am. I'll sing until you say stop.
I'll never say stop. What about, let's see, we've got one here, Daydream.
Yeah.
I love that in Ellington tune.
Funny the way that I feel now. Can't keep my feet on the ground. Everything seems so unreal now. When you're not around, daydream. Why do you haunt me so? Deep in a rosy glow, the face of my love you show.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station. Log on to pianojazz.npr.org to find a station in your area. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina ETV and Radio. Support for Piano Jazz comes from the National Endowment for the Arts, the Friends of Piano Jazz, and NPR.